Good evening. No, Dean, I'm not wearing a coat because I've somehow gotten more casual. I actually put the wrong coat on and didn't realize it till I got to my office in here that I had a different color coat on than I had pants. And they were both blue, so that wouldn't work. And so, y'all, I go shirtless tonight. I mean, I'm just coatless tonight. Now, that just scarred everybody. Counseling in my office all week. Open your Bibles to Mark 5. Let's get into the lesson before I say anything else. Mark chapter 5. Story that is very familiar to all of us. It says that they came to the other side, beginning in verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. Because he had often been bound with shackles and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. And there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. And the demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them. And they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. The very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Common story. We all know that. We heard about the demon legion going into the pigs since we were little children, right? But I want us to think about what we see in this story for just a few moments, because I think there's more than just demons getting into 2,000 pigs. You know, this is the morning after Jesus had walked on or stilled the storm, and they have come to shore now. And so they've already seen Jesus have the power over the winds and the waves. Now they're going to see that he has power over the spiritual world, not just the physical world, but the spiritual world as well. You know, I never much thought about it till I was reading it for this lesson, but have you ever thought of the smell there was when he got out of the boat with 2,000 pigs hanging out nearby? I never thought about that, but it probably wasn't a very pleasant place to get out of the boat at. But he got out there, and here's this man. Now, I want us to look. There's two things we see in this story. Number one, I want us to see what the presence of Satan does in life, and I want us to see what the presence of Jesus does in a life, because it's demonstrated in this story. We first see the destructiveness of Satan in a life. You know, Satan wants us, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, he wants us to believe he's an angel of light, right? But he is not out for our well-being. He does not care about how well our lives are going. He only cares that we reject God. That's all he wants. You know, the presence of Satan destroys relationships. Sin destroys relationships. It brings out people that are living in sin, or people who have forgotten what a real relationship is, and that is a relationship with God. You look at this man in this particular story, he is separated from society. He's dwelling in the wilderness. He's dwelling in tombs and in the mountains, as we look across all three of the gospel accounts that record this same story, that he's being driven out into the wilderness by these demons. See, he's a man that can't have a good relationship because he can't love, because he has these demons. You know, we also see that this man is continually in conflict with men. Another account of this story says that the people could not and would not and were afraid to even go in this area because of this man's violence. And we see here recorded in Mark, he had strength far beyond what a normal man should have, right? The ability to break chains and shackles and even under guard to be able to escape and to go out. And so this man's relationship with people was completely severed because of the presence of the devil. Now, I don't understand all of the ins and outs of demon possession of the New Testament, but I can tell you what it brought on this man's life, having the devil inside of him. You know, the presence of Satan also destroys peace. There was no peace with men. He was constantly in conflict with the people around him. But not only was he constantly in conflict with the people around them, he was conflicted with himself. Our text tells us, doesn't it, that he's gashing himself with stones. He was a man that had no peace. I mean, it's literally the sign of a man who has the absence of peace in his life. We also see that the presence of Satan destroys spirituality. Anything from Satan is going to be unclean. Now, I think it's interesting that he went from the unclean demons went from the man into something else that was unclean, right? Jesus allowed them to enter into swine, which were unclean under the Old Testament law. But I want us to also take note of what the man said when Jesus first came. Jesus, what do we have to do with each other? There is nothing. When Satan is in our lives, we have nothing to do with Jesus Christ, because Jesus can't have anything to do with us. Because sin separates us from Him. It separates us from the Father. Jesus, though, wanted to bridge that problem for this man. He wanted to bring that relationship back. And so we think as well, as we think about the destructiveness of Satan in this man's life, think about the saving work of Jesus. The presence of Jesus allows one to overcome tremendous odds. You know, this isn't just Jesus casting out one demon, right? You might think, and you know, granted, because Jesus is in control of all things spiritual, it doesn't matter whether it's a million or a thousand or however many demons are in there, but there's a lot of demons in this man, that they would take on this name Legion. And yet Jesus effortlessly is able to cast out these demons. But you know, if we looked at that and we just looked at the sheer number involved here and the power that was being exerted by this man, his physical power, we might say that's going to be a tough job to handle. Not for Jesus. You know, Jesus is able to get the evil out of any man. Isn't that what this is really showing? Even great evil. You know, Paul would say, I am chief among sinners, and you look at me and you see that Jesus can save anybody if He can save me. So here we see that Jesus can cure any evil. Let me tell you what. There is nothing that you have ever done. There is no amount of sins that you have ever done accumulated together that Jesus cannot forgive. And Jesus does not want to forgive. There is no sin that overpowers the Son of God. Because darkness cannot overpower light. And Jesus has the power to forgive you of anything that you bring to Him in repentance, that you confess to Him. He will forgive. Because He's promised to do so. He can remove evil. And you know what? It doesn't take any more grace to save any one of us than it does any other. It would have taken the same amount of God's grace to save Adolf Hitler as it does to save you or me. Because someone would have still had to die. Blood would have still had to been shed, right? Jesus can remove immense amounts of evil from people's lives. You know, also we see that the presence of Jesus allows one to live a normal life. To live a life of self-control, to live a life of balance. To live a life that is right. There's a reason why God has set forth certain rules and laws for how we are to live. Because they are the things that are right and good for our lives. They are the things that bring peace. They are the things that bring joy to our lives if we'll only follow them. Look, think about this young man. Before, he was naked, running around, crazy naked man. Now, Mark tells us he's sitting there clothed, right? See, he's changed, hasn't he? He's a different man than he was just a moment ago out in the tombs. He's living in the tombs. Can you imagine that? That uncleanness? He's actually living in tombs with dead, rotting bodies. Jesus cleaned him up. He also, not only has he gotten cleaned up with his clothes, but he's also now in his right mind, it says. He's thinking straight, right? Oh, there's so many people living in sin. You know why they're living in sin? Because they don't think straight. They're not trying to think straight. Come to Jesus and He'll show you how to think straight. He'll show you how to renew your mind, as Romans chapter 12 tells us, that we might be all that He would have us to be. So Jesus' presence gives us a normal life. And the presence of Jesus also allows for spiritual development. You know, this is one of the few men, I find this interesting as we look at the ministry of Jesus, that this is one of the few people that Jesus performs a miracle on and then tells them to go tell people, isn't it? You know, I'm kind of amazed of what all that Jesus has done for us, and He wants us to go tell people, and we won't a lot of times. We shut our mouths. We do kind of like Job. We put our hand over our mouth when we should be speaking. But here is a man, and a lot of times when Jesus told people to even be quiet, they still went and told everybody. They just couldn't help but tell what Jesus had done. But here's a man that Jesus did great things for. And he wants to go with Jesus. He doesn't, you know, he's not just, hey, thanks a lot, I gotta head home now. He's like, I want to follow you. I want to stay with you, Jesus. Let me get in the boat too. I want to go. I want to follow. I want to be a disciple. You know, he's not like the one who had all the, you know, the ones that had excuses. He's one that really is dedicated. And Jesus says, no, you can't go with me. For whatever reason, Jesus made that decision. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Folks, if you are a child of God this evening, the Lord has done great things for you. And Jesus wants us to go and tell people just what those things are. If you're not a child of God tonight and you're living with Satan, you have Satan's presence in your life, you have his influence in your life, you have the things that come from living in sin happening to your life, know that you can have those things washed away. But you got to come to the one that can do it. You got to have him in your life. See, Jesus, he doesn't share your life with Satan. He has to have it all. And you have to die to self. You have to die to sin, as Romans 6 tells us. And you have to live for Jesus, the one that can change your life. You can do that by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, repenting of those sinful ways, those things of the devil, saying, I'm not going to do those things anymore. Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one able to save your soul, the one able to take your sins, be buried in baptism, have those sins washed away. I don't care how many there are. We used to tease with the people that cleaned the baptistry in Texas that we'd baptize several people and there was a ring. Even if you cause a ring in the baptistry, that's all right. But I promise you, it'll get every one of them. And you'll rise up a new child of God to walk a new life with Jesus' influence in your life. And you will be clothed in Him, and you'll be in your right mind with His mind guiding you. This evening, if you are a child of God, maybe you've forgotten how great it is, how blessed you are. Don't forget anymore. Remember what great things the Lord has done to you for you, and go and tell others. If we can assist you in any way spiritual this evening, we hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?